May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. These are the set of scriptures that we've been speaking from so far in this season of Advent, and we'll continue to do so in the next few weeks, just gleaning different things from it. Advent is all about the anticipation of the Incarnation. The Incarnation had to come before the crucifixion and resurrection. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's significant. There's a scripture that God relates to us through the man Christ Jesus. This is a great scripture I was reading this morning. It says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 2, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Let me read that again. "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men," or mankind. And that mediator is the man Christ Jesus. We think of mediator as somebody who advocates on your behalf, but the word mediator is just a Greek word that means middle. Who stands between fallen man and perfect God is Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. There's a place in 2 Corinthians, it's kind of eye-opening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that if one died for all, therefore all died." But if one died for all, it didn't say, then it means he died for all of them. No, it says, if one died for all, then all died. Jesus wasn't just clothed with a particular humanity. He wasn't just clothed with a specific flesh. He was clothed with all flesh. He clothed himself with corporate humanity for the purpose of redeeming and sanctifying, cleansing mankind. In those verses in Luke 1 that Deacon Steve read, I wanted to stop at this place. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Why didn't God just make Jesus appear at 33 and a half years old, ready for the crucifixion? Why didn't he do it that way? Because God came to make new creations. He came to cleanse, to make mankind new. He came to put to death the old man and to raise up a new self, a new man in Christ. And therefore Jesus came, God came in the person of Christ and became human. Now, was he 100% God? Always. But he was also 100% man. And Philippians 2 makes it really clear that he laid down his right to live out of his deity. And he lived as the second Adam, the scripture says, the second man, that he might redeem mankind. Jesus even said again and again, "I do nothing on my own initiative." In John chapter 14, verse 10, he said, "It's the Father who does the works through me." In Acts 2:22, it was said that God performed miracles and signs and wonders through the man, Christ Jesus. You know, it's an interesting thing. I love John 16, I think it's verse 33, when just on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus says to his disciples in the upper room discourse, he said, "In this world, you will have tribulation." Now, the word there, "have," is in the present tense, means you're going to constantly have tribulation. That word tribulation can be testing, can be temptation, or tribulation. It's the same word. It's used different ways in Scripture. He said, in this fallen world, you're going to be tested, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to be tempted. And it's just going to be part of the thing, because it's a fallen world. And the law of sin still lives in this world. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. It's a promise. It's like one of those promises you can put on a magnet, stick it on your refrigerator door, that so you won't get so surprised at the fiery ordeal. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But then he says, but cheer up, for I've overcome the world. And again, years ago, and I used to, first time I read that, I thought, well, good for you, but how does that help me? I'm glad that you did overcome the world. But I'm having a problem with this thing. And Jesus was saying that as the incarnational man. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. He didn't just come to die for us. He came to live for us, to show us how Adam was intended to live, to show us what a spirit-filled man and woman, what their life was supposed to look like. He was tempted in every way. But he walked in victory because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He didn't accomplish victory by exerting his deity. He accomplished his victory by depending on the deity that lived in him by the Holy Spirit. It was the Father who was doing the works through him. And Jesus' promise to the disciples in this upper room discourse, after making that statement, John 16, he says, here's the thing. I know now you've heard me say that I'm going to go away. But what you need to know is that's the best thing that could happen for you. Because if I don't go away, the Helper won't come. And the Helper, the Holy Spirit, though his own person in the triune God, in the Trinity, his role in our salvation is he's like Jesus' other self. He says, if I don't go away, the Helper won't come. And if the Helper does come, I won't just be with you. I'll actually be in you. And as the Father has lived his life through me by the Holy Spirit, I will then now live my life through you by the Holy Spirit. So he says, it's much better for you that I go away so that I can come again in a different way. And so Jesus took on our humanity. At the cross, he took on our sin. The Father made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Mind-blowing verse. That's a verse about nature. Jesus says we're partakers of the divine nature. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that our new nature might be the righteousness of God because of our union with Christ. See, Jesus took on our story and lived our story and took on all of our sin, all of our brokenness, took on the reign of sin, the sickness and brokenness, all that the reign of sin represents, crucified, buried. And then we were risen with him in union with his resurrected humanity so that we might live his story. That's the gospel. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, Christ the King. A little thing, the gospel, the good news is, here's the good news. This is what Jesus came to accomplish. Our inclusion into the resurrection life, our inclusion into the resurrection life that Jesus lives, the intimacy that he has with the Father and the Spirit, and the favor that Jesus lives under. That's what it means to be a new creation. And the reason that Christians so often expect so little is because they know so little about how big the gospel really is. Once that truth gets down inside of you, that the gospel is my inclusion into the life that Jesus lives, my participation in his resurrected humanity, and the fellowship he has with the Father and the Son, you understand there's a human sitting in the fellowship of the Trinity forever. And because he made himself one with our humanity, we sit there with him forever. Not as God, of course, but participating in the fellowship of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can grow in your understanding and apprehension of how close you already are to God, but you can't get closer than that. Christians are trying so hard to get closer to God, and the truth is it's too late. He's already accomplished that for you. Open your eyes and see and enjoy and grow in your apprehension, understanding, and discovery. Jesus at the cross, tetelestai. You guys know this. It says, people have translated it, it's finished. But it's actually the word perfect. When Jesus from the cross said, what we've done is perfect. The enemy's been humiliated in defeat. The reign of sin has been conquered. A new creation is about to emerge, a whole new world. A new creation in union with my resurrected humanity, and fellowship restored to you, reconciled to you through my humanity, because they are in union with my resurrected humanity. That's why it's so important that Jesus was born. He didn't just show up at 33. He actually was born a person, and he took on collective humanity. He clothed himself in my rags, the swaddling clothes of my humanity, and he redeemed it all, that I might now live from Christ and not just for him. That's what the incarnation, why it's so important. You don't just go to the cross. You see, because his record's now my record. He lived my life and redeemed it all that I might live his life. That's the miracle of Christianity. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.